The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Queen of Apostles, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today the Church celebrates the feast of St. Thomas Apostle. St. Thomas, the legacy of St. Thomas, perhaps, is somewhat stigmatized by his doubt. Commonly, we refer to St. Thomas as the doubter, or the doubting Thomas, the one who won't believe, but clearly, his legacy is far greater than just that one episode or one instance in his life. St. Peter, on the other hand, has this glorious legacy of faith because he's the one who professed for the first time the faith in Christ, the Son of the living God, and was praised by our Lord for having received this truth from the Father. And yet also St. Peter had his moment of weakness, as we all know, the three times that he denied Christ on the night of his passion before his crucifixion. And yet St. Peter is not remembered so much for that moment of weakness, but really for his faith and for being the one to whom Christ entrusted the keys of heaven and on whose faith he built the church. And so St. Thomas sort of stands in the shadow there and is usually remembered just for his doubting, which is not fair. He was one of the chosen apostles. And as a matter of fact, the doubt, the famous episode of this doubt of his, was allowed by God as part of his providential design for our instruction and edification. And as a matter of fact, his doubt led to a blessing for us. Our Lord said, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." And so all of us who have the faith in Christ, we're blessed for believing without having seen Jesus Christ in the flesh. And yet our belief, of course, is thanks to the witness and testimony of the apostles, including St. Thomas. And so we should, if we have this perhaps negligent idea in our mind that St. Thomas is kind of a saint of minor glory for what he's done, I think we should try to restore that. Even though his faith was marred a little bit by that initial incredulity, it served for the greater glory of God and for our salvation. There's a phrase that is not particularly biblical necessarily, but one that's common and actually applies. All's well that ends well. And we read in Hebrews, let me see, I think I have it marked here. I should have marked it. It's in the Common of Pastors we read this. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider how their lives ended and imitate their faith. And that is true of St. Thomas the Apostle. He went on, of course, then after his faith was healed and solidified by our Lord to dedicate his life to preaching the gospel, for which he died a martyr's death. We can understand also his unbelief, which came at a moment of great stress and devastation. He had just seen Christ, who he had hoped would lead Israel to glory, crushed and humiliated in the passion and shameful death by execution on the cross. And so it was in that moment, not yet having seen his risen Lord, that he refused to believe. And one might almost imagine that it's a sort of defensive reaction. His heart had been broken and was still broken, and he wasn't about to expose himself to the possibility of yet another letdown if it turned out that his brother disciples were under some kind of illusion. And so he wanted to see for himself, and that's very understandable. The good news also for us, as it applies to the spiritual life, is in St. Thomas we have an example of our Lord's ability to heal, to forgive, to heal, and to edify, even after a great fall. And we see in St. Thomas an example for us of the possibility of recovering from a great humiliation to go on to a life of heroic virtue and a performance that is worthy of an apostle and a martyr. Our Lord healed St. Thomas and is ready and eager to heal us whenever we fall. No matter how great that fall may be, it's not beyond our Lord's power to lift us up, to make us strong again, and to set us on our way. He knew that this was within St. Thomas and did that miracle for him. So the experience that we see in St. Thomas serves for the edification of the faith, which is evidence of things unseen, as St. Paul says, and it's also the guarantee of things hoped for. And St. Thomas is a good example of that hope that we have, that no matter what no matter how we may fall, and we struggle not to fall, but it can happen. And when it does, that's not a reason for giving up or despair, but we can look to St. Thomas as one who had a great humiliation and probably for the rest of his life probably had to carry around some shame attached to that. And yet he didn't let that stop him from going on and becoming the great saint and martyr and apostle that he is. So that's a lesson for us. Jesus is ready to heal us and forgive us, and that we can recover from our failures and go on to be heroes as we're called to be saints with Christ's help. And we can go on even to the very ultimate witness of faith and that sign of charity, which is martyrdom, following our Lord to the cross. So we pray through the intercession of St. Thomas, who perhaps is more representative of the majority of Christians, often weak in faith, but who also recovered and did have faith. It wasn't only in seeing Christ that he believed, but he went beyond that belief based on what he saw and actually recognized that invisible truth and that only faith can give us or help us know that Jesus Christ is God. And so we ask St. Thomas to fortify our weak faith and to help us in our testimony and evangelization. And we trust in the Blessed Virgin Mary, who prayed for all of the saints and surely was praying for St. Thomas during that week between his refusal to believe and his recovery. We entrust to her the needs of all Christians. Praise be Jesus and Mary.